Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still loving you. I'm walking down
Sleep Discussions here on Blog Talk Radio. I am with All Poetry, which is one of the largest groups of poets on the internet. I want to thank Kevin for surmising all of us and throwing us in a corner here on the World Wide Web. And inside of that, you will find Team of Voices, run by Deborah Lee and a few other great poets. I'm happy to be a part of that. And tonight, here on Sweet Discussions, I have a whole lot of people I'd like to introduce. First and foremost is Miss Pretty Bird, the woman that keeps me organized and keeps me on my toes, keeps me happy. Hello, Pretty Bird.
Hello, hello. How are you doing tonight, sweet?
I'm doing okay. Having fun, doing my thing. We got a house full already. I'm pretty excited. Hello, Raconteur.
Hey.
Hey. How you been?
You know.
You know. I'm good. And we have Wayne.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello.
Back.
And then we have six of... Hi, And then we have 603.
Really, sweet?
Oh, God, I knew that was you. I'm so sorry, Scott. So sorry. I know. You know, I don't know why I cannot get you down, Sky. I'm like, I know that Sky, I'm going to say I have Sky on the line and it's not going to be her. And then if I don't say it's her, she's going to say, really sweet. Oh, heartbroken. Because you're not the only 603 I have. So it's like,
what?
So now I have to, no, you're not. So I have to do the seven, I have to do the last four. I have to do the last four. That's why I have to memorize is your last four.
It matters.
Yeah.
I didn't know we had other adventure people here.
I do. I have one other 603.
Oh.
Yeah. So I have to. You're not the only person who lives in New Hampshire. There are like four other Coloradans. You're the only poet in New Hampshire.
Well, we know that's not true.
The only one. Luckily, the other Coloradan that calls has a 303 number. So, and when
I
call from the 303 number,
Scott,
everybody gets confused. So I'm very happy about that. And Prebert, I have Kay in the studio, but I do not have Mr. Green in the studio, if you would do that for me.
Absolutely.
Or I can take a minute and do it. I can do it, but I'll stop talking and everybody be like, where'd she go? Oh, I don't
know. No, I got you.
I know. I went for a walk. But that's okay. I cannot go for a walk because I have 3 inches in my front yard. 3 inches of snow, I might add. Snow.
Oh, my God. I know. I thought Alexa was lying to me this morning. I was getting ready for work, and I'm like, hey, and I don't, if I do it now, she'll talk to me, but I'm like, hey, you know, Alexa, and I'm like, what is the weather? And then she's like, and I have her set to a British accent because I like that. She's like, I don't want to see my sound. She's like, it's going to be a winter storm. And I'm like, what? 8 to 10 inches? What? I don't want it to be. Keep it. I don't want it.
Well,
it's here.
I was going to say something, but I don't know. No.
Oh, my God.
Darling, yes, darling, we have a winter storm. But it snows more sometimes in Colorado in the spring than it does all winter, which is why spring break snowing is so big here in Colorado, like huge, big time. So it is what it is. So what did everybody think of this week's theme?
Nice.
Yes, it was fun. Nice. I already have next week's up, so we'll talk about that a little later.
Good.
Yes. Next week is a little odd, but I think it'll be fun. Or devastating, depending on where you're coming from. So who has to run and go? Oh, good, nobody. I'm happy about that. Let's see. I actually had written mine very early. But let's go over to the quotes I put on the board. So we'll start with those. Dun, dun, dun. And we'll go with one of my very favorites, just because it's so, like, I liked it because it's so, I found it humorous. When life shuts a door, everyone says, you know, when a door shuts, the window opens or something like this, and this was my favorite. When life shuts a door, open it again. It's a door. That's how they work. I just thought that was funny. No shit, Dick Tracy is like, yeah, no kidding. I thought that was quite funny. And then my other favorite one, because I think it describes me perfectly, is she's addictive because she possesses a pure heart and sturdy mind. Yeah, that's kind of me. Someday everything will make perfect sense, so for now, laugh at the confusion, smile through the tears, and keep reminding yourself that everything happens for a reason. Be the flawed, quirky, unique, beautiful, and magical person that you are. You are not a drop in the ocean, but the entire ocean in a drop. And, of course, the lovely lady with the butterfly wings. She distanced herself to save herself, which I think so often we have to do is just go away from the situation to say, yeah, you keep your crazy over here, and I'm going to go over here. Everyone thinks of changing the world, but no one thinks of changing himself, which I find profound. But it's I cannot talk, by the way, so you have to forgive me. Not different than most of my shows, but I still have a swollen lip. Tulsky. And I like the little goldfish with the shark fin. I like that. Be brave. And the quote on music, it has the power to make us smile and bring us all types of tears and can carry us back in time and inspire us to dance in the moment. For all our happiest days, there is music. And, you know, I also find for all our saddest day, there is music, too. And, of course, the old lady, which I'm quickly becoming. Wrinkles mean you laugh, gray hair means you cared, and scars mean you lived. Boy, have I lived. I have lived the most amazing life based on my scars. And then anger is just sad's bodyguard. I like that. And when we are missing someone the most, they will often give us a sign, a butterfly, a cardinal, a feather, or a song, some comforting reminder that they are still with us. And the last quote on my board is, I'd rather be haunted by memories than haunted by what ifs. So those are the quotes I threw at everybody. And I haven't read anybody's poems, so we'll see what you guys did. Hopefully they were magical and memorable, and as they always are. So let's see what we got out there. I had fun picking them out. You know how many quotes there are out there, though? Holy mother. There are a lot of people that have something to say. I was quite enamored with it.
Hey, sweet.
So, yes?
We have a visitor for a little while now.
Yeah.
I was going to ring the doorbell. I didn't want to be rude.
Oh, you know what? I closed the studio. Mm-hmm. I don't even have it open on my computer. That might be why I don't even see it. Wow. Yeah, I might want to put that back up and open it, huh? Well, hello, visitor, who I can't even see yet. Maybe I'll open that up again. Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm.
Well, he's not a visitor. He's kind of family.
Okay. My goodness. Bam, bam, bam. Oh, there I go saying my real name, too. Ah, there it is. Now it's opening. Oh, Hatter. Oh, my gosh. It's my Hatter.
Hatter.
Hi, Hatter. I'm so sorry. I shut that tab right off. Hi, baby. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I
just realized you were early today. So I decided to call in.
Yes.
Standing here alone.
I start at 9 now instead of 10 for my East Coast group, so they can join us.
Okay.
Yeah.
You mean 9?
I start at 9 east side, east coast side, yeah. It's 9 o'clock there.
Oh, yeah.
Because,
that's right.
Yeah. Yeah, so I kind of try to start a little bit earlier because a lot of them are like, 10 o'clock so late. Why do you do this?
It is, you know.
They all have to get up.
I don't know how you guys do it. I don't know how you guys do it. It's 8,
right.
9 o'clock out here and you guys are, you know, late night.
Right, so I was like, hey, I'll get it down to 9. So my peeps like Sky and Preybird and Wayne and all them can come and hang out with me. because I love them to death. And Rack and Tor, even though I think Rack's a little late night kind of baby.
Has to be. Needs to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I wrote for your show.
Yeah. So I am going to put up my poem to my quote, and we will kick off the world with me. So my quote was, everyone thinks of changing the world, but no one thinks of changing himself. And so this is revolution to absolution. I walked in solitude, reaching for invisible hands. Mirror fragments shine as I fell backwards into Alice's wonderland. Maca skies blue to surrender to a pouting, distraught mood. Salted teardrops run down cherub cheeks into an unforsaken dry land. Ocean waters erase the footsteps of history imprinted on sand. Glass bottles held notes that drift through the hourglass of time. Disemboweled memories of veneer smiles painted on sad clowns. Pain surfaced in latitudes and longitudes, slicing into my ivory skin, marching in my revolution towards restitution for my absolution in time. End poem.
You know, sweet, you have the most beautiful imagery. And I'm going to start with disemboweled, and I am really not being facetious. The disemboweled memories of veneer smiles painted on sad clowns. There is something that is stark, and the depth of that word disemboweled is so visceral, when especially we can all relate to having those memories that just break us down anew every time they pop into our head. And not all memories do that, thank goodness, but when they do, it is just like that. And so that's absolutely perfect. And the line I like next to that one is, glass bottles held notes that shift through the hourglass of time. That's just wildly elegant and just so beautiful. I absolutely love the feeling in this. And I'm going to go to Hatter, since you mentioned Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah, there was some great lines in this. Salted teardrops run down cherub cheeks into an unforsaken dry land. Ocean waters that erase the footsteps of history imprinted on the sand. Long line rhyme. I love it.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. The clown. I like the sad clown. And, of course, back into Wonderland.
Yeah, she has this way of just digging right in. Wayne, what do you think of Sweet's poem?
I think it's amazing. You're quite the philosopher in this poem there, Sweet Pea. I like the quote where you said,
Oh, Wayne dropped. Hopefully he'll call right back.
Okay, what happened to Wayne?
Yeah. I'm sure that was an unintentional thing. And of Sky, your thoughts.
Oh, this is beautiful, Sweet. And I love the idea that you bring in there with Alice and that alternative reality and sometimes searching for something more through our mirror because of the sadness that is reality. But then also there's also that distortion in the mirror too. So sometimes it can be a double-edged sword. For me, this memories of the veneer smiles painted on sad clouds, pain surface and latitudes and longitudes slicing into my own ivory skin. That smile that we plaster over our sadness and put on for pretend for everybody else and be that quote unquote clown and put on plaster on that smile. And even though there is such a deep sadness inside, I thought this was beautifully done, wonderfully deep, and very brief for the message that it holds within it.
You gotta love impactful words. And Rack, what are your thoughts? Are you on mute, Rack?
Am I better?
Crying.
There you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was
I was drawn to that same line about the disemboweled memories as well. But you know, the other thing too, you know, what did you say? Getting beautiful, like her. So you know, no surprise there. The entire piece was very very moving. And you know, the idea of you know, wanting to change yourself or better yourself is I guess buried within the lines of this as well. And you know, we're our own worst critics, our own fiercest judges, I guess. And you know, there's things that we look at that you know, I want to say we kind of blame ourselves for, and it's tough to draw and deal with. You kind of leave me speechless all the time with stuff like this, and yeah, I'm done now.
And Wayne called back. Hey, Wayne, we lost you for a minute.
Yeah, my phone just died all of a sudden, and I had to turn it off and back on to get it to do anything. It's weird. But anyway, you got a wonderful poem here. Every line is wonderful, and it's a very deep poem. You can give every line in this poem and have a conversation about it. You did really well on this poem. I like it a whole lot, and you're amazing to me that you're that philosophical. Great job.
Thank you, Wayne, very much.
Back to you, my sweet.
Well, thank you, everybody. I appreciate it. I enjoyed that quote a lot. It kind of struck me as sometimes by changing the world, you just have to change yourself. So that was quite the experiment in philosophy. But now let's get to the good stuff. That would be all of you. All right. Now, who wants to go next? Ooh.
Gerald is in the studio. I can't find Kay's piece, though. You sure it's in
there?
Oh,
I've already got – yeah, I got Kay's piece up.
Okay.
It's under Ashtray for Sweet Pea. It's 04, Ashtray for Sweet Pea.
Okay.
I name my stuff very odd stuff. So.
Is that where we're going next?
Yeah, we can go to Kay.
And she is up on the board.
All right. There we go. Let her roll. Let go. Resolution. Blah, blah.
Recitin of Ashtray Scars by Kay. Favicon of Doleful Lacrimose, is a nephrous child of angst. His earthly Delilah and the snow watching the swing of faith. Each bite, slap, toughened decrees of annealage. The crawlers of filth, pillaging through their forage. Fragile in the chrome that slicks the water muckily. Mother never had her lips sewn. Yet, she was a seamstress of the needle and thread, eye hook and the string. What's in the silence? The rose water base flesh from the salted eye of tongues lashing. Flavor of ice chips, lulls a dry throat. Parched through the screams, belt up, bear down, button. As a trine of pomposity, scrums to seek conciliatory solace in poem.
Okay. An icon of, I got to break this down a little bit for me. An icon of crying. An evil child of anger. His Delilah. Every time he was attacked, toughened degrees of kneeling, crawlers of filth. Pillow. I mean, I don't know if it would be my kind of girl, but definitely seems like, you know, something that the right kind of girl for the right kind of person. But I don't know if I would want to pacify someone like this, but, you know, I'm trying to think of if this is a nightmare or someone that you love or someone that you want to just deal with, or if this is like somebody that's on the someone that's like the different side of you, the dark side of you, but you still want to be fulfilled. I'm trying to kind of go up and down on this poem because it's definitely the dark side of someone, or is it the dark side that you love with the light side? It's very interesting to me. I really like the words that you used and the description of the, you know, the tears and the dark tears and the anger, you know, so she's just seeing herself from that. Because I love this. So is she distancing herself from this person that has treated her this way? Or is she just seeing herself from the dark side of herself? So it's quite the interesting poem. I know she mentions the mother in here, but I don't know if it's her mother she's talking about. It kind of goes a lot of ways for me. I'm rambling, and I apologize. So, Pretty Bird, your thoughts.
This is a very painful piece to me. And I love your view on that with whether it is others or herself. She chose the same quote I did, by the way, which is she distanced herself to save herself. So I'm going to take the view of she's distancing herself from other people. I could be wrong because, you know, sometimes I'm not. I admit I am imperfect. However, having said that, this is the verbiage in here is just wonderful, and it's wistful, and the rose water bathes flesh from the salted eye of tongues lashing, because we all know words are blades. They can just break you down, and to cleanse yourself, like rose water bathes, to cleanse yourself that way in those tears is just this painful yet beautiful imagery, and it feels all too familiar because I don't think I know anybody who hasn't felt that kind of pain. And you know, sometimes when you let that out, you wash it away a little bit, and then you got to suck it up, you know, belt up, bear down, button, and do what you need to do to save yourself a little bit. And this was really beautifully written.
Yeah, and Wayne, your thoughts?
Well, yeah, Kay always writes a little bit abstract, but this is a great. She had a great way of saying she's distancing herself to save herself, because when she said, "said the crawlers are filth pillaging through their forage," crawlers are filth pillaging through their forage, shows that she's distancing herself with me. And then she said, "as the thrine of promiscuity comes to seek solitary solace." They found herself there, so I can see where she's trying to get away and distance herself and come back and have peace. So that's what I got out of it, and I think it's a pretty good poem.
And Raconteur.
Yeah, I read a lot of pain in the words of this as well. I almost want to say it feels like someone being toughened up, you know, by someone else. And to the point of abuse, really, from the title, the ashes sounds like someone being burned with cigarettes, and, you know, and maybe I'm reading too much into it, but, that was the image I got just from the title alone. Oh. And, you know, the thought of, she mentions the belt in here too, and other things that just sound like someone, you know, being disciplined in ways that are these days grounds for calling child services. this very visceral. There's a lot of pain in this, and I could see wanting to distance yourself from situations like that and people whose ideas are, you know, I guess something that you don't necessarily agree with or are healthy for us. So, but who knows? I'm blind.
Sky, your thoughts.
I really have to echo what Pretty said. I think this was an incredibly emotive and as in her words, as she said, painful, right? I think the images in here are reflect on perhaps youth and the trials and tribulations that one can bear through that. And for me, I think the piece that really sticks out for me would be the toughened decrees of Neelich, that how there are those that always seem to have to bend to be able to survive, and down to the crawlers, to the crawlers of the filth posing through their forage, you know, those demons that dig inside of us. And then again, the two lines that really I thought really brought this piece, that were highlighted in this piece, was the mother never had her lips sewn. You know, sometimes people say such spiteful and cruel things that you wish their lips would be sewn, but they just don't know how to quite quiet themselves and say some pretty cruel things. And yet she was the seamstress with a needle and thread eye-hooking the string. So someone who doesn't seem to be able to have constraint on their word, yet are able to weave very painful words themselves towards other people. I really, really love those two lines and how she kind of brought that message through, but in a really interesting and unique way. And I really liked that metaphor. I really thought it was quite brilliant. Really well done.
Okay, so we're going to welcome Frank. Say hello, Frank.
Hello. Hello there, my friends.
Mr. Frank. What's up, Mr. Frank?
Mr. Frank.
Hello there, way.
And then I'm going to have Sky read. So, Sky, you are on the board.
I brought a pre-write because I've been on a haiku marathon. So, but, I picked this one out for that she had to distance herself to save herself, and I thought it fit quite well because I took, you know, there's a lot in the author's notes, so you can go back if you want, but I took the idea of this flower that is in a certain place, and there's legends behind it of, you know, of a goddess being basically taken advantage of, and eventually she flees to the hills. But I took pieces of stories and kind of gathered my own story itself, and this is it. It's a monotetra, so it's a bit of a love story. I kind of made up from the flower loving the goddess, so I'm going to tell you that so you can follow through, because sometimes people have a hard time following this one. But it's the Jade Vine of Luzon and the Lady of the Mountain by Sky Darko. Beside the rills of green woodley, the jade vine unfurls her motif. It's a flowering of grief, 'tis never brief. Once in love with a lady spurred by gifts of men and honey heard, caught in the trammels of false word, this larking bird. 'Twas said she had gardens of gold and the chaptral mountains of old, bestowed ginger plucked from mold, but hearts grew cold. Whispered to be a handsome maid, the guardian of Rockcliffe's jade, she built an ersatz palisade with thickets sprayed. She'd allow travelers to taste the ripe fruits in her forest place, and the chambers and lines she traced, for love she chased. But when green snuck into their grin, a blasphemy of thieving sin, when they took from timbered inns luscious fruit skins. She punished them with thorny pricks and insect stings like fine-tooth bricks, sent them away for all their tricks to the river Styx. And regardless of man, I lost my page, I'm sorry. And regardless of man's blunders, chapters of endless steel thunders, she gave still, despite her plunder, all her wonder. But on the eve of coldest night, after garden's gold left from sight, she fled to mountain peaks of white, a sorrowed flight. She, the lethargy of defeat, became the ghost of shadow fleet, with a light gate of tears to seat, the bittersweet. And what of the jade vine who saw the pale leaflet who flowered a flower claw? The shy painter who stilled in awe, who tried to draw, and tried to draw. She stands there still with song she sings, the makeshift butterfly of spring, a cluster of blooms and heartstrings, wishing for wing, wishing for wing. End poem.
Wow. That is a beautiful story. I read a lot of the bits and pieces of your author's notes. I love the story, the way you said it, the way you have this magical jade and how she's giving love and how she's giving the fruits and how she's trying to, you know, help everybody, and yet she's punishing and throwing people into the river Styx too. And regardless of man's blunders, she gave still, despite their plunders and all her wonders. I like the rhyme scheme also. But I like, you know, and what of the jade vine who saw the pale leaflets of flower claw, the shy painter who's still in awe, who tried to draw. It kind of, you know, regardless of what we're doing or how we live or where we go and all the mistakes, there still should be beauty, and there still should be love, and there still should be something worth giving. And I just kind of felt that's what you were saying throughout this whole thing. And I found it to be very beautiful. But, you know, there's still that essence of I have to turn away from it and pass it on to someone else, but I'm going to stay up here and be by myself. I don't know. It's like I can give, but I have to be alone. I don't know how, why people have to be that way. You know, you talk about being in such grief, you know, how she was a spurred lover, like the gift of men, at the very part of it, but then towards the bottom of it, she talks about regardless of what happens, she's still giving love. She's still giving that, the song she's singing and the butterflies and all that. So I think even in our deepest grief, we still want to see others happy. But I could be completely wrong. So
thank
pretty
you.
Pretty,
it's
what
actually
did you see?
Two, if I may. The Lady of the Mountain is the one that was the victim, and the Lady of the Mountain flees to the cloud.
Uh-huh.
The flower is still grounded and sees all this happening, and the flower is the one that loves the Lady of the Mountain. So it's one's grounded and now one's on earth. So even though they can't be together, that's where it is. It's true. So thank you.
So there's hope and pain.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just amazes me. Where there's pain, there's hope, and where there's hope, there's pain. It's always intertwined. Pretty Bird, your thoughts?
I'm gathering words. Give me a second. This is quite stunning, and you blow me away quite often there, Sky. You do. And I'm following this love story and the sadness and with these guys and the lies and the whatnot, and she's still giving her heart and all of this stuff that he's watching. And but it's that last stanza that got me. Because it's just, you know, she stands there still about all these things. The makeshift butterfly of springs, a cluster of blooms and heartstrings, wishing for wings. There is such a depth of sadness in that. Of not sadness, but longing, you know? And it just kind of shot right through to that part of me that is in that place. And it's just, it got me. It's beautifully written. Beautifully written.
Thank you, pretty much.
You
repeated that on purpose, did you?
And I'm going to say hello to Lady A and let her comment.
Hello. I think this is a beautiful piece. It is very sad. If you just look at the last lines of each verse, it tells the story in itself, I think. And, you know, Star, you know I'm a big fan of your writing, and I think you always... I think, Star, you're more brilliant than you really realize in your writing, and I think most of us recognize the gift that you have of writing because you are such a brilliant writer, and you write with depth and with meaning and sensitivity, and I think you're a creator of stories and stories of fantasy that are really etched in true life experiences, and I think that this piece is one of those. For sure, it's beautiful.
Thank you, Lydia.
You're welcome.
And Hatter, your thoughts, please.
Yeah, I'm glad you guys are here to explain some of this to me. Sometimes I get lost in the metaphor, visual creation of the words. I'll tell you what, Scott, to the author's notes you put in, explaining everything, it's just wonderful. We can try to read through that also. Let me scroll way back up here. So a monotetra, huh? What's that called?
Yeah, that's the
double. They all rhyme, and then the last line repeats.
Yeah, it's an 8-beat count, and then the last line in the quatrains, they have the double 4-beat counts with the 8, with the repeat. So it is 8-beat counts, and then obviously in the last line, there's the double 4-beats.
So it's an 8. Each one's an 8. Then. Okay.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah, I love the River Styx stanza. Well done. Trying to follow the lineage here. She's sort of disappointed or scorned, and then gives up, and then leaves, and then finds the painter. Is that what I'm getting? She tries to draw.
Yeah, it's the flower that's looking for the clouds.
Okay. So I get to where I fail to follow the story sometimes because I'm looking too hard into the lines, so we have to reread it. Wishing for Wings is all summed up really well with the whole thing. Very well done.
Thank you.
Okay, Hatter, I put your piece up.
Yeah.
If you would like to read, please.
I don't get to comment.
No. Wayne, if you would like to comment, go ahead.
Yes. Yeah, I got to comment with Scott. This thing has a great storyline.
Yeah,
perfectly written. And it is the best monster I've ever heard before. Your reading was exquisite, and you're amazing writing something like this. It's great. It's a great poem. Good job.
Thank you, Wayne.
Frank, go ahead and comment.
Yes, by all means, I would love to comment on this piece here. First of all, I always enjoy pieces that are very much rooted in mythology here. And this is no exception here. I thought you did a fantastic job here with just the way you incorporated the elements of the Lady of the Mountains and, of course, with the jade vine as well. I thought this piece overall was a very creative piece here. This is probably one of your most creative pieces of mythology I've actually read from you and heard you read. Your read was great as well. And I could not help but sense that there was a sadness tone there, but I thought it was a bit delicate there. I thought the longing was more reminiscent here. a sort of a haunting romance there, but I thought you did an excellent job. I'm just completely stunned by this piece here and the way you were able to construct it in such a magnificent fashion there, Sky. This is one of your best mythological pieces I've learned you and heard.
Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome.
All right, Mr. Hatter, you are on the board.
Yeah. Now, I don't know how this happened, but I mistakenly read this piece that was for your show last night. So sort of screwed up. So I have a Becky Friend verse laying around here somewhere that needs to be posted. So I'll just reread
That's
it.
That's fine.
The same one last night. Yeah. I use the angry and sad bodyguard. And when I said that last night, nobody said anything. They must not have known what I was talking about. It wasn't the problem.
I did. That's why I said I'll comment on your poem tomorrow.
Oh, that's me. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Okay. God, that's the best. Okay. All right. Yeah, okay, just one last time. I thought I was mad, so I said I was angry. A little bit sad, that's what they told me. We don't think you're you. Maybe you are Bob, an old freaking hippie who doesn't have a job. I felt I was lonely, but I never said a thing. Is there someone there to find me, or only in my dreams? After all the living and the memories to burn, what was I expecting? What did I learn? The better things come free to us. They wait behind the signs. Let me hold you close to me one last time.
That
would make sense.
I love this. I thought it was beautiful. I thought you in just took this quote and made it perfect. You know, I'm mad at you. I'm not going to care about it. You know, this is what you did to me. This is how it is done to me. But in the whole thing is, you know, all I really want to do is hold you one last time. If this is going to be the last time, at least I know. At least I know. And then, you know, I won't be so mad. I think angry is just sad's bodyguard is, there's a whole lot of truth to that. Because I think that we're angry because they didn't tell us it was coming. They didn't tell us that they were going to die. They didn't tell us that they were going to leave. They didn't tell me this was the last time I got to talk to them. They didn't tell me they were going to be so mad at whatever mistake I made. They were never going to talk to me again. I really love that quote, and I think that you did a fabulous job writing to it. And I'm sorry I didn't comment last night, but it was very personal to me, so I didn't want to kind of blubber all over Becky's show. But yeah,
you
did such a great job on this. I was just blown away by it. I felt I was lonely, but I never said a thing. Is there someone there to find me, or only in my dreams? I think that sometimes when you're so mad and you're all so worked up that you forget that it's okay to be sad, or it's okay to cry for whatever loss there is, or for whatever you're grieving because you're so angry at that person, place, or thing, or what's going on, that you forget the bottom line.
Yeah,
you're grieving the loss of them. Right. Even if you never want to see that person again, you're still, I didn't get to say goodbye. I didn't get to say thank you for whatever memory you did bring or joy you gave to my, I don't want to ever have anything to do with you again, but thank you for what you did give to me and what we were about at one point. And I just want to feel that feeling one more time. And I think you did great with that.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you never needed closure, or understood what that meant, sure.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Raconteur, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you covered the gamut of, you know, I love the opening and the closing. What's in the middle was like the delicious nougat, but the whole thing was beautiful, Hatter. The way that you express the thoughts that you do, you really brought out that idea of angry being said bodyguard. There's an angst in this and a loneliness you could feel that need for the closure that you're speaking of in your words, and I really enjoyed the poem very much.
You're
right. And Pretty Bird, your thoughts?
You know, Hatter, I have a soft spot for your wistful side, and one second, and I always do, because while you're brilliantly humorous, and I can't write humor for the life of me, it's when you get wistful that it speaks to me at a level that just kind of permeates. So there seems to be like there's an underlying feeling of like not necessarily confusion, just like, you know, it's just, you know, everybody, you know, like if you're a little bit outside yourself, like you don't understand the reactions or whatnot, or where it came from or what it is, and it's painful, and that ending just, there's a lot of strong closes in tonight's poetry, I'm just saying, you know, just that one last time, reminds me of that song, All I Lost by Adele. If you haven't heard it, you should listen to it, breaks my heart. But it's just like that, you know, it's just for a minute, just please. And it's,
yeah.
It permeates.
Why do we seem to think we need that? I don't know.
Because we do.
Yes, we do. Yeah. It just makes us all linger.
It's
yeah.
Almost like a ghost.
Yeah, it's the definition of being haunted.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. And Sky, your thoughts?
I thought this was beautiful, and I do think you have such a beautiful and delicate way about your writing, and it's so true that so often we're so afraid to show our vulnerability and our sadness, because it will leave us vulnerable, that it often leads to an angrier side, a hostile side, the side that in which we protect ourselves in order to not be hurt ourselves against others, and we just we a lot of us know we shouldn't do it, and it's a learned behavior, and you just can't quite by help you see yourself doing it, and definitely you have to really reflect on yourself and your feelings and your emotions, and see why you're doing it, and kind of work through it, and hopefully there's those around you that can help you do that are worthy of that trust, because sadly sometimes that's not always the case either. I thought this was beautifully done, and I felt an honesty in it that I think that people are drawn to, definitely emotionally, and can feel a connection through their own experiences, but also knowing this experience. Really well done, Hatter.
Lady A.
Thank you. Yeah,
Oh, sorry. No, sorry, Hatter, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
She commented last night, Lady A. Thank you.
Yes, but I would like to say again that I think you're fabulous, and I agree with Pretty Bird. I mean, ever since, and I've said this to you, and you know, I've said even what I'm going to say again a million times, but I don't get tired of it, because your poetry, every time I read it, it's new and so unique, and it lets, and it, like it or not, I can see inside your soul and with your writing, and that's what moves me the most. And whether you're writing it just as a bunch of words put together, or if there really is that meaning to it, your poetry leaves that feeling with me, that you can be so transparent that you move the reader. So that's a wonderful thing, I think.
Well, thank you, lady.
And
very nice.
And Frank, your thoughts?
Yes, I did read. I mean, I heard this and read this yesterday, but I have to say, after perhaps your question is there answered in this one response. You never know an answer to a question like this until you realize you have to let it go to realize how much it meant, how much it still troubles you. You'll never find happiness until you know sadness first. I thought this was a wise piece here. I saw a lot of wisdom. I saw it yesterday, but I didn't want to comment because we didn't have much time, I think. But I see a lot of wisdom here. Beyond just the simplicity of the truth and the experience itself, I see a lot of wisdom here, and it's reflected there in these last two lines there. And I think only you yourself can really answer and solve the riddles to your questions there.
Thank you, Wayne.
Yeah, I think this is a wonderful poem you got there, Hatter. You're saying what is really important in life, and you let us realize that if we're not careful, we'll wake up one day and what's important will be gone. And it does make us sad and angry and lost, and when we realize it's too late. And you did a wonderful job with emotions in this poem of saying that. It's a great job.
Thank you, Wayne.
Okay, Wayne, you are on the board, sir.
I'm on the board. Okay, well, yeah, I've been playing attorney for the last 2 weeks, and so I've been going and getting kind of aggressive. I'm getting ready to go up against three lawyers and a judge, and I'm hoping they surrender before it starts. But we'll see when I get in court. And it's just called. And I took the quote when life shut the door, open it again. It's a door. That's how they work. So I got a little aggressive on mine. Got I got going on mine pretty good. It's good. It's yours if you want it. And it goes like this. When you get knocked down, get off the ground. If you run into a hurdle, jump it or go around. If you have the desire, don't ever stop. If you don't quit, you'll make it to the top. Know where you're going. Get set some goals. Who cares if you make it? Nobody knows. If you never quit, you can never lose. Always stay excited. Keep your lit fuse. When you look in the mirror, see a star. You can be whatever you think you are. Stay focused. Don't stop when you're alone. When the day's over, get on the phone. If they slam the door, go around to the back. Let everyone know. Keep up the attack. Drive to the top. See what's on the hill. If you know what you want, have what you will. I never said it was easy, like a piece of cake. There's a lot of tough choices that you have to make. Take another road if you come to a dead end. You can't let it bother you if you're going to win. Tell everybody you plan on being the best. When they look at you, show them success. I always think you have 10 times as much. It won't be long until you can reach out and touch. People you pass, say you'll see them later. Whatever you do, don't listen to the hater. Know where you're going, plan every day. Tell everyone ahead, get out of the way. Don't worry if they slam the door. Don't let it bother you, just ignore. Go get a hammer. That's what you live for. Break it down and then buy the damn store. Ian?
Excellent. You go. Go. You can tell them. That's like boom, boom. This is what it's about. I like your motivation. I like your go-get-em motivational speak. You know, with what you do and working with the kids and all that, you know, they need that. They need to say, you know, you can't lay down every day. You can't, you know, just lay there because, you know, people are going to run you over. People are going to tell you you're not worthy. People are going to tell you you're not worth it. And there's going to be days that you feel that way. There are definitely days when you just want to run around and hide under the windowsill or put that cover back over your head. And you know what? That's fine. There are days that you can do that. But there are days that you got to get up and you got to just slam your way through it and figure out, you know, hey, today's the day I got to get out there. Today's the day I got to put on my beat-em-up suit and do what I got to do. And I love that this is motivational, and it is, you know, just open that door back up. And if those that want to slam it in your face, just, you know, hey, I got the I got the key. I got the lock. I've got the hammer, whatever way. I'll open that damn door again. I really enjoyed this one. I thought it was excellent. Yeah, your thoughts.
Well, I agree 100% with what you just said, and I agree with what Wayne has written. I think it takes courage to keep living each day when you have things go wrong, but to curl up in a ball and succumb to the, you know, the pity party, so to speak. And I have them quite frequently, but you got to kick yourself in the arse and get off the couch and keep going, because there's no – what's the alternative? And so, to me, you know, your pen is an important right. I think, you know, and some people like to wallow in their sorrow, and I think there's a time for that. We all can take that time and right. have that pity party. But then you say, okay, enough is enough. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps and just keep going. Keep trying. Seven times down, eight times up. You know, and. So good for you, Wayne. Great poem.
You can take a break, but you can take a break, but you can't quit.
Yeah, you want
that's right.
And you want it sometimes, but you can't. Yeah.
Absolutely. Frank, your thoughts?
Oh, my friend Wayne, this is an ingenious piece here. I thought tonight. You know, this is not the style that I know you for tonight. I see Wayne, the man who's empowered. And I like this. I like that this candid nature in you. This poem here speaks a lot of truth here. You know, you have to confront life, even though at times it has its difficulties, it has its hurdles, as you say. You always have to be prepared to some extent. And my old man, my father once said to me, he said, if you don't prepare yourself for your faults before, you're only going to wallow and doubt afterwards. So this is a great example of what one must do. And I know that this has somewhat of a satirical nature there, and I know this refers perhaps to what you mentioned there, not only the quote, but to your situation there. And I think you did, and I'm glad that you were able to express that. You were able to release that tension there in this poem here. And I do feel that it is a good outlet. And I did enjoy this piece here, or the purpose of what was said here. It is a motivational piece there, not only for yourself, but, you know, you have to realize, I'm just saying this here, that when we write poems, we're on these shows here, you know, people, there are many readers out there, there are listeners who will read these poems and get motivated, particularly these types of poems here, and find inspiration in us.
Great comment.
Welcome.
And Bracken, your thoughts?
I enjoy Wayne's rights, and this was great. Tony Robbins has nothing on you, dude. You did a great job with this. It reminds me of another quote that I really like, and it's not. Well, I guess it's motivational as well, but it there's a lot of logic to it. It's similar to the one Sweet talks about with you know, opening another door. If you don't ask the question, the answer is always no. So, you know, you definitely got that little engine that could vibe in this and the get up and do it again. You know, no obstacles, you know, I'm going to do it, you know, motivation to this. This is really inspirational. Good right.
Thank
good
you
right, Wayne.
They're not going to stop. They can't stop me now.
There you go.
And Pretty Bird, you are the last commenter, and then your poem is on the board, my love.
Wayne. You know, you prefaced this by saying you were a little bit lit up with the lawyers and this and that, and I was expecting a little angst, a little anger, a little venom, a little something. You come with this, like, extreme, uplifting, powerful positivity, like, you know, don't be down on yourself. You can do it. You got this. Just get up and keep going. And it was really just awesome. And I wasn't expecting that. I was expecting angry Wayne. You know, I was like, all right, bring it. Let's see what you got. And instead, you kind of kicked my ass a little bit because I've kind of been in a funk. So fine, be that way.
Great comment. Great comment. She means hurt your ass.
And speaking of a funk, this is my little... This is As I Stare Blankly, and I chose She Distanced Herself to Save Herself. Now, it's my first write in quite a while, so here it is. Glass looked an empty paper. Gauze bleeds and cracks, laying in tracks of sulfured sodium. A child lost in the umbra of words, in tiny slices, gouged in thoughtless choices as life leaks off the tongue, begging silent answers and questioned mental slated steel. Gray and drab emotions and beautiful storms galvanized alive in thunderbolts and masking tape that cannot keep on wet skin. As gauze bleeds and cracks, laying in tracks of sulfured sodium. As glass gazes empty, still, and both.
Wow. You know, for someone that hasn't written in a while, your pen is as sharp as ever, and I bleed. A child lost in the ombre of words and tiny slices gouged in thoughtless choices as life leaks off the tongue, begging silent answers and questioned mental slated steel. That is such powerful. It's just powerful. Tiny slices gouged in thoughtless choices. I mean, gouged. That's a powerful word. It's not, you know, tiny slices gouged. I mean, it's like cuts, you know, cuts by a thousand razor blades, but gouged. And sulfured sodium, first off, that smells like, ugh. So you're already in this gauze bleeding sulfur, so you're bleeding, you're in a funk, you're smelled, you just create this imagery of direness, just awfulness, and you're just rolling in life like you don't even care what's going on, and your life is leaking off the tongue, and you're just questioning everything in this cold arena. Drab emotions, and again, to the galvanization and thunderbolts against steel, and you can't keep masking tape on wet skin, and back with the thunderbolts, and you're back in that awful smelling emptiness of glass gazing. I mean, you just paint this world of solitude, of loneliness, of just emptiness, and it hurts. It just hurts. It's like you had to just get away from it all because you couldn't be there wherever this was. It is just pain-ridden. It is a place I wouldn't want to be. And you did it with the imagery that strikes the soul. So,
wow.
Rackentor.
Yeah, she never fails to move me. That the line that you were quoting about the child lost, you know, that sums up the whole emotional thing for me, in the sense of the just idea of giving something away like that. It's you could feel the sadness and understand the anger that comes before it that you wrote the quote to. It's just, yeah, I kind of want to give you a big hug.
Well, thank you.
And Lady A.
Yes. I like the style of this poem. I like that you opened it I don't know what the style is called, but it's kind of sort of like that. I'm not sure of the name, but you open with this verse, glass looked in empty gaze, and onwards for three lines, and then you closed it with a similar, almost identical, but you switched the lines around, and it really was impactful, I thought. And, you know, when you talk about, you know, the metaphors with regard to this child lost in the umbra of words, tiny slices gouged in thoughtless choices as life leaks off the tongue, you can hear that person, that child, you can see that child sitting or standing while this adult is letting thoughtless words fall off the tongue onto that child's head. And I could be interpreting this wrong, but that's what I see. And instilling in that kid these questions of what's right and what's wrong and why does this feel so horrible, and blaming themselves and having to grow up. Yeah, see, I'm going ahead of myself, but in any case, I saw a story within these lines, and how that those stories, like maybe like the tape may not stick to that skin, but the stories stick in your brain. And that's what I read from this. In any case, and I thought it was quite moving and emotional, and well done.
Thank you.
What a stunning comment.
You guys are just awesome, all of you. Thank you.
And Wayne, your thoughts?
Yes. Well, when you were reading this, I was speechless. I did, you were an aggressive poem so poetically. Your phrase stings. It stings as you read it. You said, where God's bleeding cracks, laying tracks of sodium, of sulfur sodium. Man, it's a hell of a way to start the poem out. And then you went to the sixth end and said, as life leaks off the tongue, begging silent answers. It's great praising, great sadness in it. And then at the end, you repeated the first stanza. And said, as glass gazed empty still. That's a deep, painful, and a painful poem. And Rack, I need a hug too. Great job.
Thank you.
You know what happens to people that hug you, Wayne?
Oh, my goodness.
They get the cooties.
Oh, no, what?
They get the cooties.
They end up in the barbecue.
Oh.
Barbecue.
Barbecue.
That was a great
Frank,
poem.
Frank, if you would comment, and then your poem is on the board. And hold on 1 second.
Right.
I'm going to say hello to Crystal.
Hi, guys.
Hi. Hey.
What's up, Crystal?
All right.
Just
bear
with me here. First of all, I have to say it's good to have you back on the show. Sweet, pretty good. It's good to have you back on the airs again. You were sorely missed by all means. I thought the prompt here was very telling here, and perhaps I sensed more of a nature there to distance herself to save herself. When I thought of what that prompt meant, and then I saw here when you say a child lost in the ember of words, that was very, very powerful. These whole lines here just, they have a sense of a haunting nature, but it's one that is that speaks of a true fear. It speaks of something that is so personal, so deep, that there is still the scars there. But if there's one thing I appreciate about this poem here is the fact that you end this poem, the realization there, as gore, trees, and cracks lane in tracks of sulfur sodium, as glass gazes empty still. Still, it still seems that it's still, and still is a very powerful word. And it indicates to me the gist of the poem there and how much it still lingers there. But I thought overall it was an excellent piece here. And I love the fact that you add a little bit of alliteration there. I noticed a little bit there. But I thought this poem here just had a wonderful, wonderful message above all.
Thank you. I appreciate it. You guys are just absolutely lovely. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, Frank. You are on the board, sir.
Since I am on the phone, I cannot read that prompt, so I'm assuming you can see it better than me, what the words say. So I'm assuming everyone can see what's on that prompt. So
yes.
I took from that prompt there. I took from the quote there, and I added my inspiration from this. And it came from
okay.
a tune that I was listening to. It's called Raindrops Come Falling Down, and it goes like this. Raindrops come falling down, a wet moisture upon my forehead, as a storm reached the edge of a pond, and I smell the waft of the fresh temperature. They start to rose slowly through naked currents. I touch the waters of the silent ripples, my bare hand, and I can feel the fine dew dropping from the fallen leaves. When I feel the dew with the touch of my fingers, there amidst the lush flowers blossoming, a windiness flushes the layer of the petals before the bright sunlight of the morning sun. After the spring showers have then passed into the shadow of the plum trees. When I think about you during the day, I escape into the horizon of the clouds, for I know you wait me with wine and the sweet taste of your tender lips to entice my memory of your seduction. When I seem to miss your laughter, I find it in the sprinkles of a light rain. When I seem to long for your presence, I find it in the beautiful butterfly, a soft feather, a singing sparrow, to remind me of you always. Te siento mi alma, te echo de menos, te busco en el cielo, donde te espero. I feel you in my soul, I miss you, I look for you in the sky, but I wait for you in the pump.
Wow. I do love that. That is gorgeous. The quote you wrote to was, when we are missing someone the most, they will often give us a sign, a butterfly, a cardinal, a feather, a song, some comforting reminder that they will, that they are still with us. And boy, did you bring that home. Oh my goodness, this is just beautiful. I love I touch the waters of silent ripples that bear with my bare hand, and I can feel the fine dew dropping from the sullen leaves. And when I feel the dew, the touch of my fingers. I just think that people always are sending us signs, and that they are in the wind, and they are in the smell of a flower, or that they're in the butterfly. There's just certain things. For me, my mother is Betty Boop. When I see a Betty Boop, I'm always like, oh, hey, Mom, nice to see you again. It was something her brothers and sisters always called her. And randomly I'll see it out of the blue, a tattoo or somebody's wearing a shirt with it on, or I'll come across it here on all poetry. Somebody's used that image on a poem or something. And I think, you know, you find it in a butterfly, a soft feather, a sparrow. I think that you captured this with such beauty and elegance. It really is just that soft touch, that soft reminder that even though someone has been gone, their memories or there's something that someone has always brought to you. I think it's absolutely stunning and beautiful. Lady A, your thoughts?
I appreciate that. Thank you very much for that.
Yeah, I thought this was really quite special, and I could relate to it very easily. I have, yeah, I think it was quite moving, but what jumped out at me the most was, besides all of it, was the last verse. When I seem to miss your laughter, I find it in the sprinkles of the light rain. When I seem to long for your presence, I find it in a beautiful butterfly, a soft feather, a singing sparrow, to always to remind me of you always. I think that's what we're left with grief, and I think it's beautifully written and sensitive to the topic for sure, and it's the choice that we must make when we lose someone, and choose to look at the beauty that's left behind and the beautiful memories that you have had rather than the sorrow that you've been left in. So I think you spoke to that very well.
No, I do appreciate that. You actually said the truth there. It's a lot of truth to what you said. I appreciate that.
You're more than welcome.
You know.
And Crystal, your thoughts?
Yeah, this, oh man, Frank, this is just, like, it melted my heart to read. Like, you have this, there's this peace in it, especially the lines that Sweet was quoting about the touching the waters and feeling the dew with your bare hand and feeling in the fingertips. And there's just, like, such a peacefulness right there. But I say the part that I do love is that when I think about you during the day, I escape to the horizon of the clouds where I know you. And then you start talking about, like, their laughter, the love you have for them, the light that shines through on of who they are and how dearly you miss them. And you can just feel that overwhelming presence of the missing, but also the overwhelmingness of the love, too. It's just, you did the quote so well, and it's just really, really, really beautiful. Like I said, I don't know, after reading it, just my heart, like, just feels all that peace of love that's in the poem. So you did a great job.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much, Chris.
And Wayne, your thoughts?
Well, Frank, you write poetry in minutes that you take years to perfect, and you do it consistently. You have a talent that scares me. You're a romanticist of the 10th degree, and you know I feel about your voice. And I felt so incompetent when you and Rack were in my presence that I just want to cry. Great job with this, and I like it a whole lot. You're wonderful.
Well, thank you very much, my friend. And Wayne, if I can say really briefly, your laughter does cheer me up many times, and I have to thank you for that, my friend.
Thank you.
And Pretty Bird, your thoughts?
You spent a lot of time in these words, setting the tone, the smell of the air, the feel of the water, the longing, and the knowing that is just a matter of time. And you did it beautifully. You kind of paint the images around us in all of our senses. It was lovely.
That's very true. I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
And Hatter, welcome back. Did you get a chance to hear that poem?
I sure did. This was wonderfully written. To be able to touch the waters of the silent ripples with the bare hand. Be able to differentiate the drops of dew in a body of water and the ripples of other water. I think that line right there is so deep, you get a lot of meanings out of it. And then when I seem to miss your laughter, just those words there, just beautifully done. That's it.
Yeah, thank you very much, my friend. So true.
You're welcome.
So true.
And then Rack and Tor.
Hey, you got to fall back to it as a female literature. This is lovely. What that comes to mind is similar to the one, a little more concise. That which is loved is never gone. You know, those signs that we all see in things that remind us of the people that we love. You know, little pieces of them that they left with us that we're able to see. The reminders of you know, the way that they touched our lives. And you grabbed all of that in your poem. Cool job.
Yeah, I do appreciate that. And I just love a notion really quick. I just love a notion of raindrops. I think all of us can relate to that. When we have raindrops on us, there's a sense of remembrance of something.
You know, the best thing about raindrops is, or the rain, is that nobody can
exactly
tell when you're crying.
Yeah, there you go.
And Rack and Tor, you are up. and we were about ready to listen to your poem.
Sweet, you know I dropped one in the room, A, for you.
Yep, you're next, darling.
Okay, I just didn't know if you saw it or not, sorry.
I've got it, darling. You are my next, you are my next victim, my love.
Okay.
And here we go.
Windows to the Soul by Raconteur. Limpid pools of piercing green invading my dreams, reflecting absolute annihilation, accompanied by a chorus of silent screams. Shimmering saline soldiers marching relentlessly across an opalescent canvas, framing her artificial smile, denying anything is amiss. Recognizing myself in her anguish, I can't help but fall. If it means accompanying her through life's journey, I'm prepared to tear down that wall. Slowly reassembling our broken pieces, occasionally mistaking hers for mine. A vast contradiction of pure and filthy, embraced and entwined. I awake trembling, sheets soaked with cold sweat, confusing dreams with reality, especially when the past is impossible to forget. End poem.
Well, that is quite stunning. I gotta say, I really, really enjoyed slowly reassembling our broken pieces, occasionally confusing hers with mine, a vast contradiction of pure and filthy, embraced and entwined. I wonder what the contradiction is, because both of you have to be both filthy and pure. So it is it the inability to separate them or finally bring them together and accept both of them? I really like the thought of that. And I like that, you know, recognize myself in her anguish. If it means accompany her through life's journey, I'm prepared to tear down that wall. Because I think once we really feel like we're all alone, we build the wall. My emptiness, one of my things that I always say or I get told is to come down from my third tower. I get told that a lot. It's a phrase that was coined from the princess status as little princess. Quit being so alone. Come down from your third tower. And I like that. I'm willing to tear down that wall. I don't have walls. I have a third tower. So I really did enjoy this. This is quite well done, Rack. Pretty Bird, your thoughts?
I'm assuming this is written to the She's Addictive because she's got pure heart and a
yes.
Very nice.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because, you know, I don't know if it's a contradiction of pure and filthy. I think they kind of go hand in hand in the best way, but this is painful. This is, there's a lot of longing in tonight's poetry. It's that addiction. It's that once you feel that, once you have that, it finds its way in. It doesn't matter the length of time. It's in there. It still breathes inside your thoughts, inside your skin. And when you wake up and it's not true, it is heartbreaking. Absolutely heartbreaking. And they linger, they hook in, and it's a beautiful thing. And I love that line that you said, Sweet, the occasionally confusing hers with mine about the broken pieces, because when you're that in tune with somebody and that close to somebody, they kind of start feeling the same. They hurt, things that happen to one hurt the other one just as much, if not more sometimes. And it's a beautiful notion. It's a beautiful truth. When it happens, it doesn't always, but when it does, it's a hard thing to shake. I don't know if you ever can. This is heartbreaking and lovely.
Thank you, Pretty Bird. For me, the reference to being pure was the opening lines, talking about her feelings, the way that she loves, and the way that she hurts. That's the purity that I'm talking about. The mixture of the two. Anyway.
Ooh. Hatter, your thoughts.
Yeah, the best line, the shimmering saline soldiers marching relentlessly across the open canvas. But, a lot of, like was said earlier, a lot of heartache tonight. I can feel it.
Yeah, I really like those lines too. Excellent. Wayne, your thoughts?
Oh, Wayne dropped his phone, died.
Oh, sorry about that. Frank,
but he did put it on the board. His comment.
I have to say it's the same thing which has been said so far. Brack has a remarkable ability to show his emotions, you know, to bring his depth of pain, his depth of love, his depth of anguish, anything that is related to emotions. He has an excellent ability of portraying it in his poetry here. The notion for me, the lines here, it really stuck out to me with recognizing myself in her anguish. I can't help but fall if it means accompanying her through life's journey. I'm prepared to tear down that wall. You know, those four lines are very powerful, my friend, compelling. And there is a certain notion here of trying to grasp on, you know, the whole concept of, I'll just be brief, the whole concept of knowing what your significant other in this case feels like is dependent beyond just the perception. It's also dependent on how well you know that individual. And I thought, although it's painful, there is so much wisdom here reflected in this piece here. And I like the title, Windows to the Soul. So I almost felt that was what this piece was offering.
Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome.
Wayne left a comment on the board. His phone is giving him problems, but Rack, he says, wow, Rack, your poem has so much love and so much sadness that it's touching. She has a spell on you, damn her. Just kidding.
Hey. Hello, AP.
Hello, Sweet. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, sir?
I've been stupidly, crazily, ridiculously busy on top of what I thought I was busy before, and I'm now busier.
Oh, God, don't you hate that?
Are
you in a big hurry?
I only just... a little. But, you know, you don't have long of a show left anyway, do you, Sway?
No, I don't, but I have got some things on the board. Do you need to read and run? Is that okay with you, Lady A?
Yeah, if he needs to read, run short.
Okay. Because Lady A was next.
Was she? Well, let's go with Lady A next. I mean, that's good. That works for me.
Okay. Well, I have to get one more comment.
Are you
in a
hurry?
I have to get a comment from Lady A about Rack's poem.
Oh.
And then I'm going to put Lady A on the board.
Cool.
Well, I think that... this poem, Rack, is really quite beautiful, and you surprise me every time you write about, and you surprise me with your intuitiveness about how women feel or see or think, because you write it into your pieces. I really liked this story, and I liked the rhyme scheme, too. the last verse is what really jumped. For some reason, the rhyme in this last verse, the words chosen, were quite, they sang in my ear. I wake trembling, sheets soaked with cold sweat, confusing dreams with reality, especially when the past is impossible to forget. I thought that for some reason that just sings in my ear. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
You're most welcome.
Okay, Lydia, you are on the board.
All right, then. Now, I wrote this poem quite a while ago, but I thought it was very appropriate for tonight's quote that she distanced herself to save herself. I thought that was a really good match. And it's called, Who Does She See? Look in the mirror, who do you see? The face resembles the same person, it seems. Who is that one staring back from the glass? She questions and wonders, does she see the contrast? Self-doubt is the lie she believes here and now, second-guessing herself even when she's avowed to rid her mind, free her soul from the lies which hide deep inside the depths of her mind. Standing outside, there's a fence stretched for miles. Alone on one side, she looks at them, smile. All standing together, comrades in arms. They point and they shout, we disapprove of your charm. They say, we don't like what you say, what you do. We don't forget, we don't even like that you're you. We don't like how you behave when you talk. We don't even like the way that you walk. We disapprove of the way that you smile, not to mention the fact we don't like your style. She sees and she hears all the negative crap. She stands up and shouts, get off my back. I am who I am, and I like who is me. I'm good, and I'm kind, and I'm loving and sweet. I'm fun, and I love harder than any I know. And if that's not good enough, here is the door. She looks in the mirror. And who does she see? A wonderful woman who has set herself free. Who is that one staring back from the glass? A passionate woman. A woman with class.
And bravo. Absolutely. I agree. I've known that woman for a while. She's definitely a passionate woman. I can tell you what she would wash for me. She would wash things for me that no other woman would do, and she would do it with passion.
Oh, my.
Shaving, too.
I tell you what. She took some mighty fine phone calls from me and when I was higher than a kite, and she's got more class than anybody I know. She's taking care of me. She's an amazing person. She's put up with a lot of crap from a lot of people, and she never deserved it. So I love this. I love how, you know, you did distance yourself to save herself. And the ability to distance ourselves sometimes from that little track in our mind that tell us that everything everybody has ever said negative about us is true, instead of saying, wow, some people just need to relax and, you know, I don't know what's wrong with them that they got to project it on me or something like that. It's sometimes the hardest thing we do in life. But you do. You just have to distance yourself from that and really remind yourself that sometimes it's their problem and not ours. Not that we don't sometimes cause our own problems, because Lord knows I do sometimes. I have a big mouth and I stick my foot in it quite a bit. But sometimes my foot does deserve to be in other people's mouths because they're idiots. But you have to balance that all out. You know, it's all about that. So, AP, we'll start with you. What did you think?
Well, psychologists tell you that when people say things about you that are negative, you remember them 13 times more than the things that people say about you that are positive. And it's worth sometimes back from that and reminding ourselves of that, because at the end of the day, we're often our own harshest critics, and sometimes you've just got to say enough's enough and back off, because this is who I am and this is what I stand for, and that's what this poem's about, and that's a really positive thing.
Thank you, AP.
And Crystal, your thoughts?
Yeah, I do love the everything about this poem, though. It really does speak the truth. And I love that you went with like a kind of Dr. Seuss kind of thing as well. I don't know if that was just like maybe the way that I looked at it, but it just made me think of that. I feel like I would see him write something like that, like, I am me for me and you are you for you, and this is said to be true, like something keep going like that. But I really think that this is great, and I love it, especially just the way they ended it too, or even towards it. And they said, if that's not good enough, here's the door, and that you love who you are, and that whatever people want to see is their own opinion, when you just want to be who you are. And I think the poem is amazing. I think you're amazing. Great job with you.
Thank you very much.
And Frank, comment from you, and then AP, if you throw up your poem.
Yeah, I'm going to just say that I'm going to call my kid, and I have to run after here.
Okay.
Andrea, can I call you Andrea? I never call you Andrea. I'm always calling you Lady A. But tonight
yes,
I want to call you Andrea.
Yes, thank you.
I thought this poem here was very empowering. I thought the poem itself was compelling as well. I love the notion there, the beauty reflected in the honesty of your heart, and so I thought that was very inspirational there. And I think the poem sums up for me in the line, which is what epitomizes this, I am who I am, and I like who is me. And if you get beyond the words that you say here, which are more, do sound like a confession there, if you peel those layers there of all those words there, and you get to those words I mentioned there, and that's all that matters, Andrea, is you accept who you are and you embrace who you are, because we can accept each other. But if we don't embrace the notion of who we are, then acceptance means nothing. I think you incorporated such a beautiful notion of who you are in this piece.
Thank you.
All right,
very
my
much.
Friends, you're welcome. And the picture was beautiful as well. Take care. Take care, sweet. Everyone.
Thank you, Frank, for coming. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay.
And AP, when you are ready.
Well, I saw the Tolstoy quote there, and you can't go past a good Russian quote, which was, everyone thinks of changing the world, but no one thinks of changing himself. This is of Tolstoy. It goes a little bit like this. We look out through glasses upon a world we view as true, as we set upon these classes to classify we manage through. And they are often shortcuts, born of experience we drew. Often forget there may be buts, those maybes, well, who knew? Because can only change you, everyone else is far too busy. And in looking inwards too, you'll avoid many the tizzy. The more of yourself you know, find inner clarity versus world. If you want an impact, then grow. It's the brave who change this world. End poem.
I really enjoyed that. I actually wrote to the same quote. I like we look out through glasses upon a world we view as true. We set upon these glasses to classify we manage through. I really like the first and the last stanza, the more of yourself you know, find inner clarity versus the world, and if you want an impact, then grow. It's the brave who change this world. It's true. I think the more that you change yourself, the more you can change the world. It all starts within yourself. I think they're very wise words, and
perfect rhyme as usual. But I think if you don't know where you're going, then you can never know where the world's going. And I think it's just beautifully done. Pretty Bird,
thank
your
you.
Thoughts?
Oh, absolutely. Your second stanza, I've like read it 15 times, and I absolutely love it. Well, I love the whole thing, actually. There's a gentle way of your words in this that a lot of times we're like, well, you got to change yourself, and there's kind of like a lot of power or frustration or you know, in that kind of call it inspiration, but there's a gentleness in here which I absolutely appreciate. And they are often shortcuts born of experience we drew. I forget that there may be buts. Those maybes, well, who knew? Because they kind of sneak up on you. You know, we go through life thinking what we think and believing what we believe, and then life happens the way it does. It just kind of unfolds all willy-nilly like and kind of kicks you in the butt going, oh, dang. All right, then. And you can't do anything but take control of how you react and what you're willing to let yourself feel because of these things that you can't control. And that is brave to want to go in there and into your own mind and make these choices that will not only impact you but all those around you and then lead to greater things. So I found it quite powerful.
Thank you. Thank you, Pretty Bird. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And Lady A, your thoughts?
My thoughts are trying to be gathered here, but I will give it a go. AP is, well, he's nothing short of brilliant in what he writes, and you... I like how you started out. We look out through glasses upon a world we view as true. As we set upon these classes, classify, we manage through. And I think the hardest lesson to learn in life, sorry, a bit of a wreck, is to be able to look at yourself and to... change the things that need to be changed. It takes a lot of courage for us to admit you're wrong if you're wrong and to fix the things that need fixed instead of looking at someone else and saying it's their fault. So I think you've done a really good job in that sense here, AP.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hatter.
Yeah, I love the way he put that, the line, those maybes, well, who knew, it softens it. It says, often forget their maybe buts, but those maybes, well, who knew, and then right back into the message, the story. But I found it gave it a little, it calmed down the words, calmed down the direction of the poem. In the right spot. I don't know if everybody else saw that, but I thought that was a wonderful place to put that. Well, who knew? So I'm commenting on that now. Good job, AP.
Thanks, Ada. No, it was an interesting one. It was a really quick write, and it was sort of a little whimsical, and just sort of seemed to fit, Ada. So, you know, I thought I'd sort of bring something, and I didn't have a lot of time, so I just sort of whizzed it out, and sometimes that works.
Okay. All right, Crystal, I'm going to give you the last comment, and then your poem is on the board.
Okay. Yeah, I really love that last line about it's the brave that who changed the world. And I even love the part before you talk about that because it can change you, everyone is just far too busy. And that is the truth, too. Like, people will just be like, oh, I don't have time for that. I don't have time for that. I don't have time for that. And they'll say that over and over again and never really actually work on themselves. And then they'll be like, but I want to do this, this, and this. And I'm like, but you have to start with yourself first. And it kind of made me think of, like, my own, like, metaphor, kind of, like, in order to, like, to shine a light, we have to work on our own candle, pretty much. So you can't just, like, go out there and just, like, show the world who you are. You can, but, like, you got to work on yourself first, because the world could come down and, like, damage you if you don't work on yourself first. So I think you just did an incredible job on this AP. I definitely agree with what Sweet Pea said, that you have to work on yourself in order to work on the world. So awesome. Awesome.
No, thank you very much. Thank you.
And I was a bad girl. I took 2 prompts, but I don't care.
You may take 2.
One of them was just a picture, so then I was like, I wanted to take the picture, but I also wanted to take a quote, so I used both. And
all right.
It's called Distanced Reality, and I wrote to, she distanced herself to save herself. Here we go. Kaleidoscope of dreams, she wished for Phil. Butterflies filled her spirit, a fantasy so real. They carried to unknown seas of periwinkle and buttercream apricot. She fluttered over the awakened skies with her when her open wings got caught. She wrestled, tugged to set herself free, but everything was all just a fantasy. All the emerald grasses, florid gardens, and gold dancing on the rippling lake were all but a vision, a reflection of things that were fake. She swallowed herself in a world of non-existence when she thought it was all a distance. She closed her sapphire eyes to no longer what she could see, the truth that lies in a fake reality. End poem.
Wow. I really love the last 2 stanzas. She swallowed herself in a world of non-existence when she thought it was all a distance. She closed her sapphire eyes, no longer what she could see, the truth that lies in a fake reality. Wow. I got to tell you, man, those worlds where everything is peachy and keen and you can just put everything behind you and make sure that facade of perfection is what everybody else sees is really, I think, sometimes what's better. And as long as you can hold that up without any cracks, you think life is really good and life is perfect. And I really like how you ended that. You know, it's no longer what she could see, the truth that lies in a fake reality. You know, because that facade always seems to crack and fade. That's really a great, great poem, Crystal. I like the meaning and the depth of it. Wow. Let's see. Lady A, if you're there, give me your thoughts.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting that so many of us wrote to that prompt, she distanced herself to save herself. There's something
very
to be
popular
said for
prompt.
That. Yes. I thought this was really well done, Crystal. I think, you know, the use you have made of color in this, it became very tactile to me. It was the texture of those colors mixed in with, you know, the gardens and the grass and the lake, and it was a very visual piece. And I thought it was interesting the end of it. She swallowed herself in a world non-existent when she thought it was all a distance. She closed her sapphire eyes to no longer what she could see, the truth that lies in a fake reality. And how many of us live in that fake reality? Well done. I thought there was a lot of power in your words, and it wasn't just a frilly, colorful poem. There's meaning behind it, as all your poetry has, and I very much appreciate your writing.
Thank you, Lady.
And Pretty Bird, your thoughts?
I love the transition in this.
because you start so beautifully and it's so hopeful with kaleidoscope of dreams that you wish to fulfill, and the butterfly is tickling her spirit, and it's so lovely. And when you get to the end with the truth that lies in a fake reality, it kind of settles in and catches you a little bit off guard, or at least it did me, because, you know, we all kind of want all that good stuff. We want to actually, you know, make dreams come true and be excited about, you know, life itself, but we don't always get there. And that last line, that truth that lies in a fake reality, it didn't just speak to me of dreams, like when you're actually dreaming and then you wake up with, you know, and all that stuff. It is the truth in our perception, because all we are is how we see things, and that is what is real to us, and that changes with our mood. That changes with information and how and how we receive that. It changes all the time. And so it's all as real as it is fake, and it just kind of dug in that way. So I really enjoyed this piece.
Okay, so we have two more poems. We have one from Mr. Green, and we have one from Deb, who's going to finish out my show tonight. But we have Friday night, we have with Lady A, so go ahead and promote your show. Saturday, is that with either Hatter or AP? Are you guys doing a show that night? And then Sunday.
We are.
Okay. And then Sunday, we have with Pretty Bird. So, Lady A, give me information on your show. Hatter and AP, I have information on your show. And then Sunday, information for Pretty Bird.
Well, I have to apologize to Scott. She's probably very upset with me right now, but I have had a lot of, been doing a lot of soul searching and have had a bit of a rough few weeks, a couple of weeks for sure. But I do have an outline of what the show is going to be about, and it is going to be about, because it's the mystery of history, or history of mysteries, sorry. And it's going to be about unusual events that took place over the years that really nobody's ever really heard of. I'll give you a quick little peek about it, and maybe we can...
Okay, because tomorrow night, it's your... tomorrow night, right?
No, it's next week.
Tomorrow's Bert.
Tomorrow. Tomorrow night is Friday night. Yeah, that was, I was just asked. I'm sorry. I was thinking next Wednesday. I'm very sorry.
Okay.
But I do have,
tomorrow.
Yeah, and Deb asked me to do the show tomorrow. And it's going to be about birds' nests. So if you have a little piece that you want to write about birds and their nests, then you can do so. I got a few pictures up there. They're not prompts. But I say, spring has sprung, birds did rest, write a poem about birds' nests. So that's pretty much what it's going to be tomorrow. I'm very sorry.
Excellent. That's okay. You were confusing me. I'm like, what? Okay, never mind. Okay, that's tomorrow night show.
Next,
Saturday.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. Saturday.
Saturday. Saturday, it's Anna and I. And it is my turn to choose this week to... what we're going to do, so blame me. We're doing volcanoes. We're doing volcanoes. Poetry about volcanoes.
Oh, my God.
Big. Now,
and St. Vincent just erupted.
On volcanoes, yeah. If you can't do a poem on volcanoes, there is a secondary theme. And that, of course, drop bears. And that is koalas with nasty big teeth and nasty big claws that actually don't exist but just exist to frighten tourists. So... volcanoes or drop bears?
All right. And Sunday.
Sunday, y'all can join me under the bus. We are talking about the light at the end of the tunnel. Now, I have personally been in a funk, and I am tired of the darkness. Never thought you'd hear that from me. And so I am looking at that light, and so it's all about, you know, that last little bit struggling to reach there, to get there, because it's so close. So, it's all about that experience and how worth it the struggle is. So that is my little show on Sunday.
All right. Excellent. Mr. Green is up. So let's hear Mr. Green.
And here we go.
Is It Fate? Written and read by Gerald Green. She says things happen for a reason and doesn't blame him for the fight. So now she tries harder to please him, regardless of history or plight. He drank too much wine during dinner, got drunk, and smashed up her new van. While blaming the crash on the liquor, she still plans to marry this man. He's angry, abusive, and troubled, but she doesn't see it that way and thinks they're a wonderful couple, convinced he won't falter or stray. Ignoring his criminal record, she feels he's been misunderstood by every employer and landlord who claim he's a bum and no good. She thinks that fate brought them together, a fluke at the neighborhood bar, where his flashy dancing beguiled her, while everyone thought him bizarre. I'm not sure how much I should tell you about where this couple will end, because of the trouble she'll go through with this man who hasn't a friend. End poem.
Well, there you go. Fate, fate, fate. Fate has no common sense. Fate doesn't have a brain in its body. Ah, I really like this poem because I think it just goes back to where is our common sense sometimes. So I really did quite enjoy it. I think it's a lot that you should think about when you make decisions. Sometimes you're blinded by your own, I guess, crush, pheromones, whatever it is. But, yeah. Fate doesn't bring anything together. But I did find it quite interesting. Pretty Bird, your thoughts?
I wonder if it's fate or fable. All of us grow up, girls especially, with all of this, you know, knight in shining armor, things are meant to be, you'll know it when you feel it, you know, all of that stuff. And we want that. Like, we want it to be easy. But it's not, and it blinds us a lot because we hope for the best in people sometimes, too often, and we're not always right. You know, we can hope for the best all we want to, but it ain't gonna change nobody. And this he kind of paints a sad and very familiar story there, because we all know these people. I'm sure that we've all at one point been these people, and it's unpleasant and it's hard to watch. And I thought that he told the story very well.
Absolutely. Crystal, what do you think?
A crystal dropped.
Oh, good Lord.
And so did AP.
My studio. Lady A.
I thought this was really a great poem. He's a reality writer, and I like what he's done here. He's, you know, the story in itself is really sad, and the blinders that some women put on. We've all done it at one point in our life or another, and hopefully most of us grow up and grow out of that before we get to be saddled with it for the rest of our lives. But I think that there's so much truth in this, and the last verse, I'm not sure how much I should tell you about where this couple will end because of the trouble she will go through with this man who hasn't a friend. And you could see he foresees the life of sorrow that she's entering. And he's much wiser than she, meaning the poet is much wiser than she. And I think that if you asked every single woman or man who ends up in a relationship like this before they even enter into any kind of commitment, they know the truth deep in their heart, and they're in total denial because they believe they can change them. So this is pretty deep.
Absolutely. And Hatter.
Oh, you're going to have to skip me this time. My phone froze.
Okay. Oh, wonderful. All right, then we are ready for Deb to close out. Oh, Rack, I'm sorry. Rack and Tor. Is she on mute?
Yeah, I'm prattling on. Can you hear me now?
Okay.
Yes.
Yes, I can hear you.
Sorry about that. Yeah, it's very much a perception thing for me. You know, when someone looks at a situation, or more specifically in this case a person, and sees, you know, from the outside something that someone, you know, so close doesn't necessarily see. You know, they blame it on anything but, you know, the reality of what's going on, and they don't understand what it is that they're looking at, you know. The whole rose-colored glasses thing. This is very, very well told. It's not just, you know, watching this person commit themselves to someone that's not worthy of the affection and love that they're, you know, entering into, but it's knowing that the future is just going to get worse. And, you know, that really makes this a very, very sad poem.
All right. Okay, and then to close out our show, the amazing Deborah Lee.
And Deb is on the board, so here we go.
Destiny and Reminders by Deborah Lee. After stealing opportunity to speak a final goodbye, black clouds hover over hazel eyes, spilling salted teardrops in displayed condolences. Bouquets laid out as a blanket covering solid oak casket with dark red flowers of rose-scented grief to camouflage finality. Soft fallen, scarlet petals mixed with cold brown dirt and scream silent eulogies. One single crimson stem joins your journey home to be pressed in family Bible. Sprigs dry out and mark pages with death-stained reminders stored in ornamental boxes.
Wow. Wow. And the quote she wrote to is, I'd rather be haunted by memories than haunted by what ifs. Well, the imagery in here is stunning. And I love the opening stanzas. After stealing opportunity to speak a final goodbye, black clouds hover over its hazel eyes, spilling salted teardrops in displayed condolences. You know, I think that as long as, you know, they went out doing what they wanted to do and, you know, that's what you have to do. You have to make sure, you know, you want to be what you're doing and that your journey. You know, what is your journey going to be? What's they going to say when you pass? You know, oh, she left this memory, or is there anything to talk about? Because what are you? But one single crimson stem pressed in the family Bible. I mean, or when people open that book, do they want to see that rose? Or do you want to be that person they talk about those memories, that everything? You know, what are they going to say about you? I want to be the one that, you know, oh, that crazy grandma or that crazy aunt or that, my God, what a crazy is she left on this world. I mean, just what she puts here is soft fallen scarlet petals mixed with cold brown dirt and scream silent eulogies. My eulogy is not going to be silent. You guys are all going to be drunk and screaming my name and laughing about everything I put out of there. I just want to hear that. I don't want to be just nothing. And hopefully my poetry will live on, the laughter of my grandchildren will live on. This is just sad and wow. It just kind of hits me really hard. Wow, Deb, this is very deep. It really is. Pretty Bird, your thoughts?
There is a depth of this that is, it's heavy, but it's got
it's got these cloudy edges. Not that it's unclear. It's just that's what death looks like to me, you know? You've got that stark finality in the middle, and then the rest of it kind of blurs into whatever a new normal looks like. And that second stanza with bouquets laid out as a blanket, which is a beautiful image of what that day is, and then with dark red flowers of rose-scented grief to camouflage finality. Like, you know, you can dress it up all you want to, but, you know, kind of is what it is, and it won't change. And unless you write notes in that pressing book of yours, you know, but the older you get, the more flowers are in there, the harder it is to remember. And the idea of that is heartbreaking. And the pain in this is there's a loveliness that underlies it for me that is wistful and sad, but it's it makes you want to embrace the now and make those memories, because there really is nothing else quite as mournful as all those times you remember not answering the phone on purpose because you just couldn't be bothered, you know? So it weighs. Good job.
Yeah. Rack and tour.
Yeah, I love the line about the camouflage finality as well. The idea, you know, that is final, but, you know, you'll always have those memories or reminders and the things that kind of speak to you of the person's life and the way that they touched you. So, you know, as much as you're not able to reach out and touch the person, they're still around in a lot of ways. And you know, those haunting memories are going to be, you know, almost impossible to escape, you know, and they'll sneak up on you when you least expect it, I think. You know, anyone that's lost anyone, I think, finds themselves just, you know, idly remembering someone, you know, just for something that reminds you of them that kind of sticks up on you when you least expect it, you know, like you were talking about Betty Boop. I really appreciated this, Deb. This is absolutely emotional and touching.
Lady A, your thoughts?
Well, I'd have to agree with what everybody said so far, and I think that Deb writes with an intensity that you can't help but be drawn in. Let me just pick out something like, you know, when you lose somebody, it's just such a different world. The bottom line is your world changes. The world is no longer the same as it was. And, you know, I think, you know, when she talks about one single crimson stem joins your journey home to be pressed in family Bible, sprigs dry out and make marks pages with death-stained reminders stored in ornamental boxes. You know, this is really, really a powerful pen because it can be interpreted in different ways. But I know when, you know, when she hovers over, when she speaks of her eyes being hazel, they're sad. And when she speaks of them being green, she's in a different frame of mind. And so, you know, I know she misses her mom terribly. And this is, anyways, it's just a beautiful piece, Deb, heartfelt, warm, and full of longing and memories. And keep them close to you because it'll give you more comfort someday than the sorrow. And just a really beautiful piece.
And Hatter, your thoughts?
Yeah, very moving. When Deb wants to
right this way, it is powerful. I think it all wraps up in the last line, stored in reminders, stored in ornamental boxes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is that what we can, that's the best we can hope for, right, is to have somebody bring that out now and then and see, be reminded. It brought up a lot of different feelings with me. The older she's added the footnotes, author's notes, the older we get, the more flower stains we have on our Bible, more stains.
Mm.
So I guess that's all we can really expect.
It's very complicated, isn't it? Grief is very complicated, and it's, you know, we're all going to be there one day. We're all going to die one day, and you know, or end up in a nursing home or something. And your whole life, we collect stuff our whole life, and in the end, what really is important is not the stuff that we collect, because by the time you get to the nursing home, you get a box and two pictures on the wall, you know. So there's a lot more important things going on in our lives, and to treasure those things.
I'm coming to live with you, Lady Day.
Oh, sure.
Oh, don't start that. All right, you guys. We're 15 minutes over, but I want to say what a hell
love
of a good show. I had a great time. You guys were awesome. The poetry was awesome. The show rocked. I could not do it without any of you. I'm just thrilled that you guys were with me tonight. It was a really great show. I can't thank all of you enough. You guys are the best of the best. I want everybody to have a wonderful night. And I will see you again all soon. Check out next week's topic board. It is, I got a letter from the four walls of my childhood bedroom. So basically, if your childhood bedroom walls wrote you a letter, what would they say? So that's kind of what I'm looking for.
Wow, that'll be a good one.
So what would your childhood bedroom? Huh?
PG-13.
PG-13. But yeah. So if your childhood bedroom wrote you a letter, what would it say before your vigorous days of teenage, you know, personal engagements? We'll just say that. All right, you guys.
Mine would say, I told you not to be that. Told you not to be that.
Yeah. Told you not. And Rax would say, I told you you'd go blind. But other than that,
Oh, wow.
That was funny.
Leave the pantyhose in the proper drawers. And yeah.
Right. All right, you guys. Everybody have a good night.
Love
I'll
y'all.
Talk to you soon.
Good night.
Love you all. Good night, everybody.
Night.
Bonsoir.
Bonsoir.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
Goodbye.